Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Book of Genesis, chapter 12, reading verses 1 to 3. Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And our subject this evening is the call of Abram. And we commence a new series from the book of Genesis, focusing on the life of Abraham. And it wasn't so long ago that we looked at the first 9 chapters of Genesis, from the creation account right up to the Tower of Babel. But soon after the account of Babel, the book of Genesis embarks on this great narrative account of a man called Abram, later to be renamed of the Lord Abraham. It is a tremendous account and one that is very rich in application for us and even of gospel application. We learn so much from the life of Abraham, this great patriarch. We will learn about his successes, but we will also learn about his failures. We will see examples of great wisdom in Abraham, but we will also see foolishness in Abraham at times. We learn about his great faith, and indeed Abraham is described in the New Testament as being the father of faith. But we see also that even in his life, in this great giant of the faith, there are moments of faithlessness. But we will learn that God is ever faithful. This will perhaps be the clearest and most glorious lesson from our series, that God is faithful, even when man fails. God indeed is the author and finisher of our faith, and we will learn about him, a God who makes promises to his people, and the God who is able to deliver what he has promised to his people in remarkable ways, to the joy of his people and to their everlasting blessing. And so, there's so much that we will consider in the coming weeks, so many glorious things and passages that have been a joy to the souls of Christian people for many generations. But we begin here in chapter 12, and this call to Abram. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Now the name Abram means the father is exalted. That is the meaning in the Hebrew, or high and mighty father. Some have translated it. And Abraham, which will be his name in due course, means father of multitudes. Now, of course, Abraham will be the father of multitudes in terms of the nation of Israel. Out of his loins would come the Israelites. But the fullest meaning of his name is that he will be the father of multitudes who have faith, as I've already mentioned. He is the father of faith. The true children of Abraham, and we will mention this many times in our series, the true children of Abraham are not those who are born according to the will of men. The true children of Abraham are those who are born according to the will of God. And this is the glorious nature of Abraham, and we will learn about this in due course and in the coming weeks. And just to give some context of the history, we believe that Abram was born around 1996 BC. So almost as far as we are from the birth of Christ, but obviously Abraham is the other side of the birth of Christ. 1996 years before the birth of Christ, we are 20 years after the birth of Christ. But it's almost as far as we are historically from the Lord Jesus Christ and his incarnation. And Abraham, well, he lived in a place called Ur of the Chaldees with his father Terah, his brothers Nahor and Haran. Sarai was his wife. And we won't focus too much on the members of the family. That will come in the study next week, God willing. But Abraham, well, he is called out by the Lord to come out of Ur of the Chaldees. And this is where we start with this first verse in chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. The call to Abraham. Now, before we look at the specific details of the call, we have to ask ourselves, why is Abraham called? Why is Abraham called? Well, the simple answer is because he is chosen of God. He's chosen of God. Why is he chosen of God? Is it anything to do with Abraham in particular? No. You could say, well, he's a descendant of Shem. And Shem, we won't look at the account, but Shem is the son of Noah who received particular blessing of the Lord. So some may think, well, that gives Abraham a good likelihood that he is going to be blessed. But why Abraham in particular? Why him and not his brothers, for example? Why him and none of the other descendants of Shem? There are many descendants of Shem, of whom we read in chapter 11. But it's Abraham who is called to be the father of faith. Well, dear friends, why is that so? Well, it's because of God's goodwill and pleasure. God calls whom he pleases. This is the nature of God's call to his elect. Whenever anybody is called, it's not because of them. It's because of God's goodwill and pleasure. And we have to lay this down right from the outset because this is such an important principle. We read in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 1 of how the Lord has chosen us, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Chosen before the foundation of the world, says the Apostle Paul, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The good pleasure of his will. It is the Lord's choice, nothing to do with us as individuals. And in verse 9 of Ephesians 1, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So the choosing of Abraham had nothing to do with Abraham himself. God purposed in himself to choose Abraham and to call Abraham. And that's the same for every single one of us. Every one of us, we who are Christian, we who have faith, God chose us from before the foundation of the world. He predestinated us to be saved, to come to repentance, to come to faith, but not because of anything good in us. God purposed in himself. It is his choice, according to the mystery of his will. That is how God gathers souls into his kingdom, by his sovereign calling and the good pleasure of his will. And God calls every single one of his people. He calls us. We are not born into salvation. We are not born right with God. We are not unconsciously made part of the kingdom without realizing it. No, there is always a call. We are called. Christian people, well, there is a conscious conversion experience. They hear the call of God and they respond. And the call, of course, goes out through the gospel message. When we preach the gospel in this place and when we reach out to our community, when we tell people about Christ, well, the gospel call is going out. When we preach, when we witness, God is calling people to himself. That is how he calls people. It's through the gospel message. Through the gospel message alone. Through the preaching of his word, through the labors of the Lord's people. And this is how we are called to salvation. And when we look at this call of Abram, well, you may say to yourself, well, this is Old Testament. This isn't the gospel age. Well, yes, that's true. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is not going to be mentioned in this call, not directly. We will see him later on. But this call, it has all the characteristics of the gospel call. We will look at these verses, and you will see that when we are called in the gospel age, it's exactly in the same way as Abraham is called all those years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are great similarities because the call of God, well, it never changes. It always has the same characteristics. And this is a glorious thing to behold. So this is going to be our focus this evening, the first three verses and the call of Abraham. Well, the first point I want to make about this call is that it is an irresistible call. An irresistible call. Now, Abraham is being told to remove himself from his country. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He is being called out of Ur of the Chaldees. Now, we know a substantial amount about Ur of the Chaldees. The ancient site of Ur was discovered by Sir Leonard Woolley in the 1920s and early 30s. And so we know a good deal about it. Ur was a very prosperous and very developed ancient city with a population of at least 250,000 people. It was a very busy city, commercial trading center. It had a temple, a vast temple with a college and a library. And at the center of the temple, well, it had a great statue to the moon god. This was the principal idol of Ur. But the city had many idols and many comforts and many sins and many worldly pleasures. This was an ungodly environment. This was a worldly environment. It was not conducive to faith in the living God. It pushed people away from the true God to serve idols. And it was, a comfortable environment, full of earthly comforts. Abram and his family, they had prosperity and wealth and security, and no doubt a life filled with things to see and things to do in this great city. Why would they ever leave? Humanly speaking, they had no reason to leave. And yet, well, Abraham does. He leaves because this is the power of God's call. It was an irresistible call to Abram. And, well, when we think of this, it ought to encourage us in our evangelistic endeavors to reach out to others. We think of the community around us here in East Dulwich, and maybe we're tempted to think, well, what is the point of reaching out? Because this modern age, it's so atheistic. The Bible has been rejected. It's hardly ever mentioned. It's never taught in schools. And people have everything they want. There are so many earthly comforts. People have their big homes and their TVs and their internet. What is the point of going out to share the gospel, to knock on doors, to urge people to seek God? Well, we know that when God's elect hear that call, they must come. This is how God calls his elect. We hear the call, and, well, it is an irresistible call. This is what is known as the efficacious call, or irresistible grace, the call that cannot be resisted. This is what Abraham is knowing in verse 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, Ur of the Chaldees, where I'm so settled, where I'm so wealthy and prosperous, my family's here, everything's here. But he does it because this is an irresistible call. So we never lose hope when we go out into communities that appear so hardened, because God is able to call his people out. No matter what situation they're in, no matter how ungodly their environment, if they are God's elect, if they are God's chosen, they will come out. They will seek God, they will find him. And so it is our duty to continually preach the gospel. No matter what age we live in, no matter where we are, God's elect will hear the call and they will not be able to resist the irresistible call. They will obey. So that's the first point. It was an irresistible call. It was a call to separate as well. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, to separate from the wickedness of the city, to separate himself from the idolatry of the city. That's a great part of his call. And well, of course, that's an essential feature of the call of the gospel. When we are called of God, we are called to separate, not in a physical sense, and we spoke about this not so long ago in our series on 1 John, not in a physical sense, we don't hide ourselves away, but we are different, we are distinct. When people look at us, when people look at how we behave, at how we act, how we speak, at the things we do, well, they know that we are different. We live according to different standards. We don't conform to this world. We used to be conformed to this world. Now we are not. We've separated ourselves. And this is the call to Abraham. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Separate yourself from wickedness and idolatry. And well, it's repeated so many times in the scriptures. I just give a few examples. Isaiah 52 and verse 11. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. A call to the Lord's people by the prophet Isaiah. And Revelation 18 and verse 4, right at the end of the Bible. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins and that she receive not of her plagues. The Lord's people commanded to come out of wickedness and idolatry and an idolatrous world system. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We are to be separate. It's repeated so many times in the scriptures. And of course, at the very end of time, we will literally be separated from the world. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, we will be divided into two groups, the sheep and the goats. We will be separated. And we will go to be with the Lord forever. We will not be punished for our sins, but the rest of the world will. There'll be a great separation at the very end of time. So our separation now as believers in this world, in this life, well, it marks us out. It identifies us as those who will be separate at the very end of time, those who will not be lost like the rest of the world. We're separate, we're saved. And this is the call to the Lord's people. This is the call to Abraham. to separate, get thee out of thy country. And thirdly, well, it's a call to put God first, a call to put God first. Get thee out of thy country, separate from Ur and all its wickedness, but also and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Abram is being commanded to separate, well, from his family, from obligations to his family, his earthly ties, his earthly relationships. Earthly obligations are not to come between him and his God. The relationship with God is first and foremost, above family. I am your master, says the Lord. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Well, this is very costly, and this is very difficult for many. But this, again, would apply to us. We who are born-again believers, well, God is our Father in heaven. We are under his laws. We're no longer under the laws of our parents. We're no longer under the obligations of family and even society and culture. God is our Father in heaven. He is our Lord, and our foremost duty is to obey him. So we must ensure that we have the right priorities. Abraham is being called to overrule his obligations to his family. Well, of course, we love our family members, and we honor our parents and so on, but we don't make idols of them. Some people, well, they make idols of their wives, of their husband, of their children particularly. The family is not to be our God. It's not to be the reason that we live. We live for the Lord, and our chief obligations are for him. All earthly obligations are secondary, even to our family. And so this is a great aspect, a very challenging aspect of the call to Abram and to each and every believer. But dear friends, we see that there is great blessing in obeying this call. So often when we consider the call to follow God, or whenever we present the call to unbelievers, all that they can see is the cost of following God. Oh, it's too great. I have to put God first. I have to forsake family obligations. I have to leave this. I have to leave that. The cost is too great. That's all they can see. But God is going to make clear to Abraham, or Abram here, that there is tremendous blessing. Tremendous blessing. Blessings that far outweigh the cost. And look at the blessings that we see here. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You see how many times that word is employed? Blessed, blessing, bless, bless. Blessings more than we can count when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to God. Look at these things. I will make of thee a great nation. Well, of course, we've mentioned that. Abraham, the father of faith, as well as the father of physical Israel, he would be blessed indeed. Well, in a sense, when we are saved, we enter a great nation, a great family. Abram has been told to leave his earthly family, but you know, when we're saved, we enter into a greater family, a family that is well formed of multitudes. In this age and generation, down throughout history, we think of all the saints who have lived in time past. They are our brothers and sisters. They are members of our family, a glorious family united by faith and eternally bound in Christ. I will make of thee a great nation. Well, it's a great joy in your life when you go to nations overseas and you go to sound churches and you meet with the believers there and you have such a kinship with them. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Is God appealing to the pride of Abraham? I will make thy name great. Is that something that Abraham is to be proud of? No. God is simply promising Abraham, if you put your faith in me, if you put your trust in me, you will never be ashamed. So many people, when they consider coming to faith in Christ, they're so worried. What will happen if I become a Christian? Will I be ashamed? Will I bring the whole religion into disrepute? Will I be exposed? Will this happen? Will that happen? They lack faith. They lack trust. But God himself is making promises. Abram, put your faith, your trust in me. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. You won't be put to shame. There'll be no regrets, Abram. You will be strengthened. You will be enlightened. You will be enriched. You will be at peace. You will be employed by God in the great ministry which I will give you, which will be remembered for generations. This is what I will do, Abram. I will make thy name great. This is a promise. It's not to puff him up and make him proud, and thou shalt be a blessing. Yours will not be a wasted life, Abram. Yours will be a blessed life. And then, well, it continues in verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. God will be on his side. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee. Abraham has a sovereign protector, as do all those who put their trust in God. When we come to the Lord, when we hear that call and we respond, well, God is on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know these words so well, Romans 8 and verse 31. Any battle that we have in our lives, any enemy that we face, God will fight for us. The God who rules on high, the God who commands all things, the God who governs every circumstance, that God will fight for us. He will be on our side. The Lord of hosts is with us, as the psalmist said. In Isaiah 54 and verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So these are glorious blessings. Abraham is going to go into a new land. And what is his security? What is his protection? Does he need a great army, an army of thousands? Do they need to build great walls when they get to this land? No. The Lord of hosts is on their side. God is their security. What tremendous blessings. And these are our blessings, dear friends. We apply all these things to ourselves. And well, there is so much more we could say, but time is almost out. I want to come to just the final part of this third verse. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, the call of Abram would not just be a blessing to him, it would be a blessing to many. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is a prophecy concerning Christ. All the nations of the earth, all families, not just Israel. not just Abraham's physical seed, his lineage. No, it will be all of the families of the earth, all the nations, through Christ. Out of Abraham's line will come that great seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's through him that all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It's through him. All those who have faith in Christ will be blessed. And we read this in our scripture reading right at the very start, Galatians chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. The Apostle Paul, of course, is speaking about justification by faith. And how are we justified by faith? Well, it's faith in Christ. It's all about Christ. And he connects this verse to the gospel and to Christ. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is a prophecy of our dear Lord and Savior. But the point that I want to end on this evening is, well, because Abraham responded to the call, it wasn't just him who was blessed. It would be a blessing for countless others. And that is a joyous thing to remember and to note. Whenever anybody turns to the Lord in faith, the blessing is not just for them. It's for others. You know, even unbelievers, if you are a saved man or woman or child, if there are unbelievers around you in your family or in your social circle, you know, they are blessed when you come to faith. Even unbelievers, they don't know or admit it, but they are blessed because they see with their own eyes the work of God in a person. They see how somebody is changed. They see that new nature descend upon that person, as it were. They see the fruits of that new nature, and they benefit from them. They benefit from that person's goodness and kindness and gentleness. They are blessed. Even the unbeliever is blessed by that person's faith. And of course, when a believer witnesses to them, or when a believer prays for them, of course, they're blessed. This is how people are gathered into the kingdom. So many have been saved through the prayers of others, the prayers of those who have faith. This is, again, part of the mysterious will and counsel of God. God has chosen all his elect before the foundation of the world, but in a mysterious way, he has taken into account all the prayers of his saints for others. And by taking into account the prayers of his saints, all of the elect will be gathered in. This is a mysterious thing. This is too high for us to understand. But this is what we see in the scriptures. And so you see how when one person has faith, it can be a blessing to so many others. A Sunday school teacher, when he or she prays for their children, that's an example of someone who has faith being a blessing to others. When church officers pray for their congregation, their faith will be a blessing to others and will, according to God's will, be used to gather the elect into the kingdom. This is a tremendous thing. When you come to faith, the blessing is not just for you, it is for others. And so, well, I have to exhort those who perhaps have not come to faith. And, well, you haven't come to faith, and yet you look around you, you're worried about the state of the world, you're worried about the state of the nation, you're worried perhaps about the state of your family. What's the best thing you can do? Dear friends, hear the call of God and respond in faith, because your faith will be a blessing to others. Your faith may be used of God to save others, countless others, just as Abraham's faith would be used to be a blessing to countless multitudes. So this is the call of Abram, glorious in so many ways, but can we not see this is just like the gospel call? God never changes. This is the same God who calls us every Lord's Day through the preaching of the Word of God. And well, he calls us to do exactly what Abraham did. May we pray that so many will hear that irresistible call, that so many will separate from this wicked world, that so many will put the Lord first, even above earthly ties and responsibilities, that so many will know the blessings of the Lord and be a blessing to others. These are tremendous lessons that we see, and we will see many more tremendous examples of God's goodness and grace as we continue in this series of the life of Abraham.